This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Let's see, it is June 1st, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Rabbit, rabbit.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news and cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening on Facebook Live right here, you can comment on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7 FM. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back in the studio on the UConn campus. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views that are expressed on this show, on this program, do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's rant of the week. Keep the group ride suspended? Question mark. I don't know. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get into the show. We'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, group rides, what's going on, what are you doing as far as group rides go, what is your club or organization or friends that you ride with, what are they talking about right now? We just got a release from the governor, supposedly, of 25 or more people. That just seems outrageously big. I think they got the same thing going on up in Vermont, because I spoke to Tyler Wren up in Vermont, and he said something about 10 or more, maybe 20 or more people. Showed me a picture of people on the beach up in Burlington. Didn't look good. There were a lot more than 20 people in a group. This is a grand experiment, folks, and we're going to talk about it again a little bit later into the show. There are some guidelines that are out there I'd like to go over with you, and we will have some conversation about that. Also on Ron's rant of the week last week, I ranted about the nips rant. That was a suggestion from my friend Todd Friedland, who is an area cyclist, and he was concerned about the whole nip thing. I'm going to change this over just a little bit for all of you that are now watching me and not watching me. Anyway, he was concerned about the fact that there's all these nips on the road, and why are they all out there? What is this all about? And I'm just gonna fight with this thing today. And so anyway, his point was that there's an awful lot of empty beverage bottles that are of, you know, obviously, you know, heavy alcohol type bottles on the road, and he was concerned about it, and he noticed that the number of them had gone down dramatically during coronavirus. So, hey, what do you know? So, the nips rant, I ranted about it. We made a comment about it, and I got a comment back about it. And this is from our good friend Mike up in Eastford. And he said he was listening to our show on Wednesday, and he wanted to share some info to the rant about nips. Sadly, there's more to the story than one might imagine. The following information was relayed to me by a friend who is a nipper, okay, and a serious drinker. My eyes were quite opened by what he told me. First, we need to understand some scales of alcohol-related motor vehicle violations and how this leads to litter on the road. Some of the motor vehicle violations involving alcohol, driving under the influence, DUI, depending on blood level, alcohol levels and previous violations, a mild to serious offense. Drinking while driving, open container, visible in the car. This is a very serious offense. DUI and drinking while driving, huge offense under the law, probably going to jail that night and in big trouble. Number four, having an accident while DUI, big, big offense. Injuries or death involved, not good at all, really huge offense. And number five, having an accident while DUI and drinking while driving, major league offense, injury or death. You in a heap of trouble, boy. That's a nice comment. What does it have to do with nips, you say? Well, the nipper needs a drink. Nipper's got a problem. The nipper is addicted to the alcohol. They buy nips so that they can drink and immediately dispose of the container. That's why they're sold by the bucketful. If if pulled over and below the legal limit, the nipper is okay. But if they get pulled over and are drinking from a half pint and an open container is visible in the car, they're in major violation. If DUI and have an open container, big trouble. Thus, nips out the window. Light beer can be guzzled and go out the, and out go the cans. Litter everywhere. Lots. It's disgusting. Absolutely right. You know, that is an interesting point, that you look and see the beer cans on the side of the road and are more of them light beer cans than regular beer cans, because light beer is not quite as much of a bang for the buck. The nippers know by law they and get their first drinks of the day on the way home. They aren't trying to hide anything. They are drinking while driving, period. They are littering to skirt the open container law, period. It's disgusting, period. Nips need to have a $1 container deposit on them. Won't happen, but one can dream. All alcoholic beverage containers should have large refundable container deposits on them. Now, for perspective, Mike here drinks wine. He loves wine. He collects wine and has for 45 years. He loves craft beer, his primary reason for gaining weight. And he'll gladly pay the deposit. The nip should have a punitive deposit. You want to drink and drive? No nips. Put your big boy pants on, grab a pin, and see if you get away with it for a while, for very long. My guess is the nippers would stop drinking on the way home. Of course, the industry will never know, will never allow this to happen. Nips have a huge profit margin. We can only dream. So that's a big shout out from Mike from Eastford, and I appreciate that shout out, Mike. It's really good. I also got a comment on last week's show. We were talking about a ride with GPS glitch, which some of us have been having, and it sends us on places that we just didn't program into our ride with GPS ride. Hence, I have been watching and reviewing whenever I'm using an old GPS file, a ride with GPS file, which I have probably 100 of them on ride with GPS. Anyway, when I'm using those now, I go back and I double check and make sure that I have the right roads marked. The other thing, the other glitch that I found with Ride with GPS, for those of us who use it, is sometimes when you get to an intersection, your plan was to go right, and Ride with GPS tells you to go left. So that's something you got to kind of watch with that. I always proofread them, especially if it's an organized big ride where I'm going to have a lot of people following it. I don't want them to get lost. So anyway, Pete Salamone from another listener here, he basically told me that his Ride with GPS rooted him through a road inside of Lake Compounds Amusement Park instead of on Mount Vernon Road in Bristol and Southington. So I'm not the only one that has this problem. If you have a comment, you want to send it over to me, please, Facebook Live. You can send it over on my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk. You can send me an email, Gmail, that's bicycletalk1@gmail.com. On a positive side, here we go, the coronavirus. On a positive side. You ready? The Bloomberg News report this week said investors are betting more and more people will turn to bicycles as a way to avoid congested public transportation as France, the UK, and other countries start to erase lockdown measures. Bike company stocks are rebounding with the markets, and Shimano hit record highs. So I have that. I had that over here. Unbelievable. Several bike-related companies, including Giant, Excel Group, Thule Group, Fox Factory, MIPS, and Dorel Industry, have shown similar stock price patterns in recent weeks, mostly paralleling the recovery in international market indexes. After bottoming out with the market in mid-March, they've been on a steady climb since, peaking in the middle of this week before slight declines before the weekend. This was published on May 29th, by the way. Shimano's curve since March is similar but steeper. Most stocks have rebounded significantly since their lows in late March and early April are still trading below their historic highs, but in some cases are still below the prices immediately before the pandemic. Fox Factory, for example, was trading at $76.18 a share in February, and as high as $86 per share last July. Fox bottomed out at $36.15 and on April 2nd and closed at $72.11. So things are changing in the bicycle industry. Those who are investing in the stock market are looking at the bike industry as the future, which is, wow, who would have guessed? We're getting infrastructure changes. We're getting stock prices going up because it's a bicycle-related thing. I'm beside myself with what has happened here. I know it's a tragic thing that's happening right now, but on the light side of it, when you take a look at the whole bicycle phenomenon, it's unbelievable. This is just, it's blowing me away as to what's going on here. So this is a big, big deal. The stock market's on fire in the bicycle industry. Now, here's the sad part about this. China took a two-month break from manufacturing. So what does that mean? I've talked about it last week. I've talked about it the week before. I have dealers calling me and crying on my shoulder about it because, yes, they're having banner months. They're doing really, really well right now, but they're about to run out of product completely. And we're not just talking about things like, you know, okay, I can't get any more $500 bikes to sell in my store. We're talking about 11-speed cassettes. They're gone. You know, these things are just disappearing. We're going to start losing chains, and we're going to start losing tires. We're going to start losing all these things. We're going to lose them all. We are. Hey, that's a good thing for the maintenance minute there, Ken Wolf. I see a nice comment here. I'll talk to you about that. So anyway, yeah. Yeah, here's what's going on in the bike business. Just we're hoping that there's like Giant Manufacturing and other big companies. We're hoping and they just gear up big time and try to get product back on our streets, because this is a great opportunity for the bicycle industry to really, really excel. They're already excelling. They will excel further if this happens. So it's really cool. So the maintenance minute here I have. So a friend brought over a bike. Friend brought a bike over, and it was, let's say it was what we used to call at the bicycle shop a barn bike. What is a barn bike? A barn bike is the bike that comes to you from wherever it was stored, and it has a lot of film over the top of it. You can't really read some of the stuff on the bike frame because it's so covered in dirt and yuck all over the bike. And almost always, it's supporting a small ecosystem. So you'll see spiders, and you'll see flies, and you'll see all sorts of interesting insects that are wrapped around the webs and the wheels. Because, it needs love. Love. You got to love your bike, man. You love your bike will love you back. I guarantee it. Ken Wolf says, what do you suggest when an inner tube fill nozzle falls into the rim? Falls into the rim. Not sure exactly what falls into the rim means. Is it too far in for you to be able to put a pump on it to inflate it? Or is it just, you know, just down a little bit? I am a really, really, really strong supporter of not using those little valve positioning tools that come with your tube, the little things that screw down onto the valve that hold your valve stem in place, because people tend to grab on and pull their tube up so hard and tight that they end up putting the tube underneath the rim of the tire or the bead of the tire, and then they go to inflate their tire and they blow their tire off the rim, not only ruining the tube, but often if you have done it incorrectly enough, you will also rip the bead of the tire and you'll ruin the tire too. So what do I suggest? Number one, keep air on your tires at all times. Try not to let them get that soft so that you lose your tube inside, your tube valve inside the tire. You know, inflating the tires once a week is all it really takes to do that. If you're if you're hardcore and you ride your bike every day, and now you're riding like super hardcore and you went out and you bought yourself some, you know, latex tubes or whatever, you're going to have to inflate your tires every day anyway, because they will just, they'll just seep out. A lot of the lightweight new tubes too, they also have a tendency to leak as you're using them, just because they're just so thin. So I would say the best thing to do is just keep air in your tires at all times. I position when my tire is completely out of air, if my valve stem isn't straight, because sometimes they'll go off to the side, I will just deflate the tire all the way. I'll straighten it out just by grabbing onto the tire and the tube and kind of wiggling it back into place. And then I push down on the valve stem so I'm sure it's in the tire before I inflate the tire. Then I inflate the tire and I let the air pressure push the valve stem up to where it needs to be. And that should cover it. So hopefully that will help you out a little bit, but the real key here is just keep air in your tires, and it makes a huge, huge difference, because your tube will have a less of a chance of wandering if you do that. So thank you very much for the comment, and it's great that we could do this live, because that's really cool. So anyway, my friend brought over the bike. It had an ecosystem in it. I've got to do a lot of cleaning on the bike, because it's pretty bad. But, you know, essentially the bike it's working okay. It needed serious air in the tires. I haven't checked the tires again to see if the tubes held air that I put into it when it first arrived, because it just got here yesterday. But, you know, I'll check and see how that looks. Soap and water. Soap and water works great. A nice soapy mixture works really good with some warm water, works really good for scrubbing off all that crud off your bike. That'll help. And really, you need to get the bike get it completely clean before you're going to work on it. So I pull the wheels off and, just kind of open it all up so you can actually, you know, get yourself in and around the back tubes of the bike, around the back of the chain stays and all that, and the seat stays. And you can really scrub away and clean the bike up real nice. Because, again, a clean bike is a very happy bike, and happy bikes are what we're after here. We're all after happy bikes. So that's one of the things I'm doing. And of course, it has a serious thirst for lubrication, so it's going to get a lot of lubrication. I'm going to check a lot of things over on it and make sure it's working okay, and then I can get my friend Mary back on the road again. And or off the road. I think she's going to use it on the rail trail, actually, which is really, really, really convenient for her. So anyway, that's what you do. You start by just strip the whole thing down by pulling wheels off, generally, and start cleaning. Just start scrubbing away all the dirt and the grime and unfortunately, you're going to have to tell the tenants to move out. So they're going to have to leave your wheels. And a garden hose will do a pretty good job on them. But make sure that if you are using any kind of a high-pressure hose, I don't recommend high pressure too much, but any kind of a hose, try not to squirt towards where the bearings are, because you may get some water in there. You may dissolve some grease. You don't want to do that. And then from that point, if the bike has been sitting for as long as this one has, I'm going to pull the hubs apart and just take a look inside, make sure there's still grease in there. I'm going to check the bottom bracket. I'm going to check all the bearing surfaces, because that grease gets really, really hard and dry, and or it can. So that's why I plan on doing all that with this bike. So I've got a little project ahead of me, along with all the other little projects that we have here. Right, Franny? That's what you do when a friend brings over a bike and you have the ability to help them out with it. So next, we're going to get into the content of the show. This one's kind of interesting. I was surprised to hear this, but Uber is in the news, in the bicycle news. Very, very interesting. Why would Uber be in the news? Well, I'll tell you why. This is pretty bad. Uber is under fire from cycling advocates about shipping unwanted e-bikes and e-scooters to a scrapyard amid the bike shortage brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Earlier this month, Lime acquired Uber's Jump Bike Share line of e-bikes and e-scooters. While Lime took possession of much of the inventory, Uber was left with thousands of bikes and scooters. Advocates say the bikes and scooters could have been donated, with bikes becoming a more popular means of transportation in the age of COVID-19. A Florida businessman, Chris Moffitt, posted photos and a short video on Twitter May 22nd of the jump bikes at the North Carolina scrapyard. He also posted two more seconds long videos 4 days later. The videos have garnered between 38,000 and 110,000 views as of Thursday afternoon. I'm going to have to look this up. This was posted on May 28th, by the way. So, anyway, Moffitt told Brain, Bicycle Retail and Industry News, a friend who works in the scrapyard took the videos and the photos. He said the battery packs and tires were removed before the bikes and scooters were destroyed. Destroyed? Why? Why would you do that? I just felt it was very unfortunate outcome, and maybe if I could get more exposure on Twitter to pressure them to do something better, said Moffitt, who added the inventory could have been or should have been donated. Uber, which did not return Brain's request for comment, told NBCNews.com it did not know if the donation was an option. The spokesman said even if new owners were willing to maintain bikes and scooters, Lime's intellectual property rights might have been violated. Unbelievable. It's the lawyers. So anyway, we have bike share places around here. There's a very small one in Willimantic. I don't know if he still exists or not, but Angel was fixing bikes and getting them back into the public's eyes. Our really good friends out in Hartford at Bicico, that's what they do. My friends who are running Bike New Britain, that's what they do. They take old bikes and they recycle them and they make them into valid bicycles again and get them out to people who need them, who have the opportunity to use them. So this is all a really, really good thing. If you have an old bike and you're like contemplating bringing it off to the landfill, maybe that's not such a great place to go. Check with your local bike shop. They may, if they won't take it, which a lot of them won't, a lot of them will just look at it and go, I don't want that. It's just going to turn into, you know, a pile in my dumpster. Then they'll know someone who you can donate it to, and they'll take it. They will. This is definitely a thing. I have to say, you're not supposed to do this, because there are signs at my local landfill about not scavenging, etc. But when someone brings in a bike that appears to be of reasonable value, they don't throw it into the metal bin. They kind of leave it outside. And I've talked to them at the landfill. And I said, I know I'm not supposed to scavenge, but do you mind if I grab that bike over there? And they'll go, oh, take it, just take it. And I have come home with some gems. It's amazing what people throw out. And, you know, the last one I have, which is sitting in my garage and needs a set of shift levers, eight-speed mountain bike shift levers. And it also needs a rear rim because the rim is bent, which I have both of those items. So this is just, it's just a project set aside right now. The bike's in great shape. It was probably an $800 to $1,000 bike when it was new, and it's mine now. And or for somebody who needs it, I'll fix it up, and if somebody really needs it and I don't need it, then I'll make sure it finds a good home. But this is a thing, so don't throw it out. Especially now, we can't get used bikes now, we can't get new bikes now. The market is ridiculous at the moment. And you know, last talk I had with Mike down at Tony's, I think it was, we were up to like $800 bikes were all that were left, if left at all. There, the bike market is getting swallowed up by consumption. So that's a great thing for, you know, the fact that we're putting all these wonderful bikes out onto the road and off the road, but it's not such a good thing because they're going to run out. And then what happens? Okay, we're in June now. It's June 1st. What happens in July? What are we going to be looking at? Not great. So recycle that old bike. Let's repurpose it. Give it to a neighbor who you know could use the exercise. Or maybe they need the transportation. But you can find something to do with it. You know, be
Be smart about this. This is a good thing. So anyway, don't do what Uber did. That was really, really dumb, and so dumb that they don't even want to comment. So right now, we've got a reset here. Retailers are attempting to balance the safety of their customers and safety of their customers and staff while they're reopening their doors. There's a big, the gate has opened somewhat to allow people to go back to retail stores, restaurants, that sort of thing. There's restrictions on everything. You know, hairdressers have restrictions. Restaurants have restrictions. Bike shops, to my knowledge, are still really not allowing anybody in the store unless they're, I know of a couple of them that are letting people in to, look around if they're buying a bike, if there's still a bike left to buy. And but they're going in one at a time and then out the door. So that's kind of the way that works. Yeah, we're opening up, but we're still, Fran and I are pretty strong about this. We're concerned that we're still in the danger zone here, that we're not really in a place that is safe yet to get mass amounts of people together. So when the governor says 25 people of those you know, what does that mean? What does that mean? Of those you know, I know a lot of people that I could gather together 25 people, but they would come from all different regions in the state and or maybe even out of state. And I think that we're making a mistake here so far. Maybe I'm being a little too cautious. I don't know. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I feel good. I don't want to change that right now. And I would rather have a little more consistency with the information that I'm getting before I go forward on that, which brings us to further into the show as to what we're going to talk about. So the retailers are all setting up for this, and they're trying to figure out what to do, cleaning their stores all day, every staff member juggling so many customers and duties that can't bear one of us for 30-minute appointment. You know, we're asking people to mask up. We're asking them to use the hand sanitizer when they come in the door. There's just, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to make your store and your people safe. Some of you will not take this approach. Some of you will say, nope, we're still going to do curbside. Fine with it. That's okay. Whatever you need to do. So, the artwork on the wall is, it's an old Fuji poster that was out many, many years ago. We're talking about the 70s, maybe early 80s, probably late 70s. And it's a cool piece of artwork. So that's what that is up there on the wall. I'll show you more. Maybe I should change it every week so you can see different artwork. But anyway, so retailers are making this change. That's what's going on in the retail front. Business is crazy still, so they're going to stay with it. Cycling and the coronavirus. This is the primary subject of the day. I think we need to talk about this a little bit more. What do we do? There was a piece in Bicycling Magazine, and I think I lost it here. I had it up on my screen, and I may have put it away. That I pulled, and it was from Bicycling Magazine, and it talked about a missing group rides. I just want to ride my bike. Fran, you might be able to find that. It was one of the latest Bicycling Magazine articles, and if you could pull it up, that'd be great. But it was, people are suffering from the lack of group rides. Yeah, and there's some great reflections in there about, you know, I miss that guy that shows up to the parking lot, you know, right when we're ready to go, and he's got a flat tire, and now we're all held up by it. You know that guy. Hopefully you weren't that guy. But, and Fran said something when we read this originally. She said something, and then Ron goes over and changes their flat, and Ron's leading the ride, so we all have to wait. So it's, you know, it's one thing that happened. Make sure your bike is ready to go if you're going to go on a group ride. But then again, are there going to be group rides? That is a really good question. Cycling in the U.S. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so, all right.
Let me come close. Yep.
I'm coming closer.
Come closer.
No. Yeah.
You can even scoot in here if you wish.
Scoot.
Yeah, I can. Then we can see you. See, there she is. She's on my other side because I finally figured out how to flip my screen around. Because I guess I was backwards, but
now I haven't figured mine out though.
Yeah, I haven't figured yours out, but we will.
Okay, so yeah, Bicycling Magazine had this nice article called "Damn, I Miss Group Rides," and our bicycling friends have been posting it. You miss the guy who's 10 minutes late with a flat tire and a hot Starbucks coffee. And that guy who gets on the ride and tells you how he's feeling tired and really injured, and he takes off like a Cat 3 racer with something to prove.
There you go.
And
know that one.
Somebody who comes and doesn't bring enough nutrition. You know, they bring a half full bottle of plain water and no food, and the only equipment they bring with them is a 5mm Allen wrench. And then the other person who's got their you know, their pockets stuffed like they're going to be gone for 3 days. That would be you.
That's me.
Right.
But that only lasts me for part of the ride.
That's funny. And
I eat a lot.
You know, so initially the writer thought that the hardest part of this would be not being able to ride. But it's just almost as bad or just as bad or in some ways worse not to be able to ride with people, with your people.
Right. You're missing your
peeps. You don't just dream about the actual act of riding. You remember the alarm clocks going off too early, the ride plans that you made. You make these great plans over drinks the night before.
Yeah.
And I'm going to quote this conversation. Are we really doing this? Yep, I'm microwaving yesterday's coffee right now. Gross. Why are we friends again? Because I agreed to your stupid plans. Right. I'm telling you, Cindy Bean and I really think we actually had that conversation, exact conversation.
And we've had that deal with the flat tire at the beginning of the ride, too. Oh, a big shout-out to Gregory from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a bunch of grown-up people in Lycra.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the Avengers and 80s glam bands were a bunch of people in Lycra.
Yeah, they were.
So were we.
They were. Yeah, there you go. And some of us still have, you know, the hair. You know, we still have the hair.
We go into that pain cave. We peel away our facades. No matter how much JB Weld we used to hold them in place.
Oh.
And, you know, it's just brings everybody together.
Yeah.
And right now, when we see another rider coming our way, we get downright giddy and wind up our wave. We wave very enthusiastically when you see people going the other way.
And sometimes we see people that we know coming the other way, and they'll stop. And then we stay on our side of the road, they stay on their side of the road.
And we create
what is known here in New England as the New England Wedge, which is where you block traffic by, you know, talking to each other.
So we missed everyone. By the way, there were comments on that, too.
Really?
So there were comments on the article.
Yeah.
So one person said, you really captured the spirit of group rides in your opening paragraphs, especially, and the "I'm microwaving yesterday's coffee right now," Ron.
Oh, I do that sometimes.
All the time.
Well,
conversation was hilarious, so been there. I mean, I've had that conversation. This is an interesting season for me because I stopped going on group rides when I broke my collarbone 2 years ago. So to see everybody else pining along with me for them is surreal for sure.
Mm.
And someone else said, love the article. And at one point or another, I think I have been the described group rider. I miss those old retired guys who drift across the line, ride like the wind, and look like
there
a racer on the bike, drop me in their dust, and then feel guilty and put a hand on my back to push me up a hill. I still remember the day they rode me into the ground on a hot 50-mile ride and then stood by my Jeep door asking if they broke me and would I ever ride with them again. Great memories. Yeah.
Well,
here's
you know
a good
what?
One.
So, yeah, go ahead. What you got?
As an introvert, I've been preparing for this moment all my life, yet I have to admit I feel your pain, and a ride with a group would be good for the soul right about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get it. We get it. We understand.
Yeah.
We're having this discussion. We have a club meeting tonight, actually, a board meeting tonight. There's going to be some discussion about this because there are some people that are pretty, they're jonesing to get out. So I get it. I totally get it. And Jed mentioned something about there are some group rides around the state that are starting back up. So this from Cycling Weekly, which is a UK site. Cycling in the Coronavirus Lockdown, Everything You Need to Know. They're talking about, this one was about the middle of May, Can I Still Ride My Bike? It talks about all this stuff. And I think we've actually been through most of this. I'm going to actually skip over it because I would like to go to what USA Cycling is saying about this. USA Cycling is the governing body for bicycle racing. A lot of you already know that. And so I'm going to... I'm gonna mention that there was a webinar that I attended back in February 19th, I think, right around there. Not February. Whew, hello. May 19th. And I attended this webinar along with many, many other promoters and USA Cycling members. And they have a lot of good information. So a lot of this information is coming from that time around the 20th of the month. There was supposed to be another report today, another release today about where USA Cycling stood. So hopefully by next week at this time, I'll have a little bit more information for you on that. Joel Chance says, all are welcome on my morning weather report ride to the summit of East Rock, Cottage and Orange Streets, 7 a.m. Hey, Joel, how you doing? Joel Chance, by the way, if you don't know, used to own a bicycle shop in New Haven called Cycles LeChance. So shout out to Joel. Good to see you online right now. Nice to see you there.
What's East Rock? So
East Rock is...
Do I ask?
There's,
do I dare ask?
There's East Rock and there's West Rock.
Okay.
And if you drive, if you're driving down the big highway, 91...
Should I be scared?
And you will find, you'll see them looming in the distance. They're these two big outcrops of rock. If you're on the Wilbur Cross Parkway, you go through the tunnel under West Rock. And that's where those are. They're right there. So anyway, yeah, we're looking at USA Cycling releases here. So they have a whole page at USA Cycling. If we could just find it here. Here it is. They released a Return to Riding and Racing Events Guideline and Toolkit. And this came out on May 18th. And this was in conjunction with the conference that I went to online, and it talked a little bit more about what was going on here, and information from Chief Medical Officer Dr. Michael Roshan, who had a great video back when we were deep into this thing, and just really made some really good suggestions, and tended to, I would say, sided a little bit more on the just be smart and be careful and you'll be fine side of things. But exercising a lot of caution at the same time. So anyway, here it is. What do you do now? What do we do? So there's a COVID-19 resource page on USA Cycling. I highly recommend it. I will try to copy and paste this onto the Facebook page so you can take a look at it. Because I think it's got some pretty important information on it, guidelines and all, as to what we need to be doing when we're dealing with this group ride situation. The first one is group ride scenarios, okay? Scenario number one, you've been staying at home and working from home for weeks. You decide to go for an hour-long ride on a quiet country road near your house. This is a very low risk from COVID-19 perspective. You will not be interacting with others during the ride. You should consider at least carrying face covering and hand sanitizer in case you need to interact with anyone. This is kind of how Fran and I are doing it now.
Yep.
Scenario two, you've been staying at home with your spouse. This is more, we're more scenario two here. Staying at home with your spouse. Yeah. You just ploofed me. You gave me the Bronx cheer. Oh my God. Do you believe that? That's love for you guys. That's it. So, you've been staying at home with your spouse, and the two of you decide to go for a mountain bike ride together on the local trail system at midday or on a weekday. Are we getting comments on that? You expect to see a few hikers while you're still out. The risk here is higher than riding alone because not because you are riding with your spouse. The elevated risk comes from the interactions with others. Possible mitigation. Avoid interaction with others while on the trail by pulling over and letting them by at a safe distance. If driving to the trails, park away from others. Consider a face covering before, during, or after your ride.
That's scenario two. Scenario three, your club is holding a small group ride with 10 or less people who you know at least in passing. The road ride will be 3 hours and will stop to regroup and have snacks at a gas station at the halfway point. The risk here is higher than riding with someone you haven't been living with, you have been living with, and know the health history of. You do not know who may or may not be protecting themselves. That's the big question right there. You will also be stopping at a public location. Possible mitigation. You might consider having club policies in place to require ride participants to follow guidelines while riding. Oh, that works great, even when we don't have a coronavirus. Sorry, that's just a comment. You should consider a face covering while riding, and especially when stopped at a store. Use care when stopped, and make sure you wash or sanitize your hands. Do not share water bottles or food with anyone else.
If you stop at a store, expect that you're going to need to use a face covering when you go into the store or cafe. Because
Correct.
We've had to stop at convenience stores, and they're requiring face coverings when you go in. And
absolutely.
So are cafes and everywhere else.
It's just respect. I mean, it makes sense. So there's also a utilize the rider checklist, which we can get to in a bit. You are considering, now this is scenario four, you're considering heading out to do the local Tuesday night worlds. You know, the swinging you-know-what ride. This is a road ride with over 50 people that meets once a week and does a hard 1.5-hour ride through the suburbs near a city where you live. It attracts both local riders and people who are visiting from out of town. The risk here is more substantial than any other scenarios based on the following. Exposure to a group with unknown risk factors, proximity to riders in the pack, riders from outside of your community, possible participation in an area with community spread. Depending on the local situation, you may also be out of compliance with local regulations on a group size. Possible mitigation. This scenario holds the highest risks of those shown. You would be wise to follow the most stringent mitigation efforts possible and consider not attending if you are worried about contracting COVID-19. It is likely that such a ride would violate local policies or guidelines if held in a location with widespread community spread and or restrictions on gatherings. So that's it. That's from USA Cycling. Those are the group ride scenarios as they see them. There's more because USA Cycling is, I respect them. I think they have a lot of good information. I've been, you know, off and on a member for many, many years. I'm on a promoter level right now with them. So that's where I'm at. I'm actually not a participating racer at this time. I just don't have the legs for that anymore, guys. Sorry. But maybe someday I'll come back. You never know. And, you know, I'm now, 65 and over masters. Woo-hoo. You know, I the problem is I know all those 65 and over masters right now. And they kicked my ass back then, and they're going to kick it again now. So that's not going to be so easy to just hop back into. But anyway, team club guidelines to consider. So if you have a team, if you have a cycling team that you're working with, or a club that you're working with, these are some guidelines set forth by USA Cycling. All participants must or should self-monitor for signs and symptoms of COVID-19 and be clear of these for the previous 14 days. Don't show up to the ride if you've been tested positive. Stay away. Stay away. Wait 14 days. Then you maybe
not just tested positive, signs and symptoms.
Signs and symptoms, right. Say you've got the cough, you've got the fever, you've got, whatever it is. You don't want to go.
This is kind of harsh because basically what's gone on, and this is unfortunate, every time you have a cold or flu-like symptoms, you basically have to assume you might have COVID-19.
Right.
So if you have cold or flu-like symptoms, even if it turns out to just be a cold and you're tested negative, You can't go for 14 days.
No. And that's it. Just do it. Be safe for others as well as yourself, please. Self-conduct a temperature check before participating. Take your temperature. take your temperature before you get out of the car and pull your bike off and then go hop into the group ride.
Take your temperature before Simple. You leave the house.
Or take your temperature before you leave the house. But I would say I would take it in the car, quite honestly. I would take it before I hopped on the bike right at that moment. Because you never know. That could change within an hour or two.
That's
you never
true.
Know.
If you're far, that's
sure,
if you're far
sure.
away.
So not have traveled extensively or to an area with a high incidence of COVID-19. If you're coming from that area, reconsider. Not be in a group that is at high risk if exposed to COVID-19 or in regular contact with anyone who is.
Well, our bike club is all mostly 50 plus, so there goes that.
And there we have it. There we have it. Carry and or wear a face covering depending on the type of ride, prevalence of local community spread, weather conditions, and the size of the group. Carry hand sanitizer.
Can we talk about the face covering for a sec?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. So I find that the easiest face covering to do is the gaiter, the neck gaiter. It's very mm-hmm. easy because you can wear the neck gaiter around your neck, and you don't have to, it's very easy to pull up over your nose and mouth while you're riding. So, and then you can take it down. So what I do is I wear a neck gaiter. I've been wearing neck gaiters in every ride, even when it's hot out. And I wear them around my neck. It's not ideal because I am hotter than if I didn't have the gaiter on. And I wear a light one. You know, in the wintertime, you can wear a heavier one, which is nice because it actually is helpful to keep your face warm. When it's windy out, it actually feels nice. But this time of year, it's not so great. But we are generally riding on back, quiet country roads, so we mostly don't have to wear it. But if we choose to ride on the rail trail or on a busy part of the rail trail, when I'm not near people, I have it down. And when I see that I'm approaching people, I pull it up and I wait till I'm well beyond them, at least 20 feet beyond them, before I pull it back down. If I go for a ride on a busy part of the Airline Trail South, south of where we live, or if I go on the Hop River, I'm going to see a lot of people.
And it's like yesterday, we went out for a recovery ride, and it was, you know, it's just a really easy soft pedal ride on the rail trail. And we saw people out there. Some were masked while they were on the trail, but most were not.
Right.
So it's, and the rail trail is, you know, it's 3 to 4 feet wide. It's not that wide. So you don't really have the exact space to stay apart from one another at all times on a rail trail.
Right.
So it's, you know, if you're going to ride on a trail, you'll definitely want to bring some sort of protection.
The nice thing about riding the rail trails around here is that they're wooded so that it's not so hot. And so it's not as bad to wear the neck gaiter and pull it up and bring it down.
Right. So here's another one. Carry hand sanitizer. We went for a lovely ride this past weekend, and Fran dragged my butt out for a 60-plus mile ride. She wanted to do a metric century this weekend. So we ended up with 66 miles by the time we were done, which was really cool. And we stopped at a little cafe in Colchester, which has their door open but won't let you stay inside. But you can go in and you can get something to eat. A big shout out to the, what is it, Red Rose Cafe?
Red Rose Desserts and More.
Yeah, whew, nice, very nice. Right down the street, like really, like within a stone's throw of the folks over at Sunshine Cycle in Colchester. So if you happen to get out there, it's just kind of a neat place to go. So anyway, we did this ride and we got to that place, and when she came out, she look, hand sanitizer.
That's a little bottle of hand sanitizer. It's really easy to carry in your pocket.
Fits in the jersey pocket, really nice. So Fran said, "Oh my God, I forgot my hand sanitizer," and I said, "Well, look at this." And I reached in my back pocket, and there was the hand sanitizer. I brought some with me. So you know, carrying a small 1 or 2 ounce bottle of hand sanitizer is well worth everyone doing if you're going to participate on a group ride.
This one's tangerine.
Or if you're not. She has flavors. She has colors. She's a Jersey girl. That's a Jersey.
This one has aloe.
See, here, what'd I say?
Also, I have big stock bottles.
I would have one, by the way. I would have one.
Well, I stocked up on these a while back. I believe I was very fortunate because I stocked up on these during when we had a power outage.
Right.
And I stocked up on some more, I think, when you got sick and I had to come home and clean the house while you were in the hospital.
Right.
So we're very fortunate that we were stocked up on these small bottles. And then I have big stock bottles, too. And now you're starting to be able to get hand sanitizer, and you're starting – you can't get, like, the major brands, but other companies are starting to make hand sanitizer. So right. you can get weird brand hand sanitizer – at the supermarket now.
Sure you can.
So when I run out of these, when these run out, I can restock the bottle.
Right.
So I can still carry these little
cute because the little bottle's really handy because it just it fits very nicely with everything else you need in your back pocket, which with if it's me, it's half the grocery store. But anyway, I like to bring a lot of food with me. But we made that comment earlier. Come prepared. That brings me to my next point here, though. Come prepared to be self-sufficient with food and drink, as well as tools, equipment, and clothing needed so as not to have to share. That's pretty, this is all pretty common sense stuff. Practices. Consider ride types that limit the need to draft. This is a big, I cleared my throat a couple times there. Mountain bike and gravel are examples. Limit stops to resupply. When stopping, respect social distancing, wear face covering, and wash your hands. Meet any required group size requirements that are set by your local community. Meet in areas that lessen your exposure to others. Bring all necessary supplies, tubes, CO2, bike pump, tire levers, etc., to fix or support your ride. And do not assist others in handling of their equipment while fixing any mechanical issue.
Oh, yeah, man. Well.
People are going to hate me. They're going to hate that I'm not going to be able to fix their flats because I'm kind of like the flat tire guy.
That's really, and that's going to be a really tough one because that's going to be like, then don't ride in big group rides. Because,
well, that's exactly
because what are you
going
to do? You know, let somebody who doesn't know how to fix a flat not fix
You're
their flat?
You're
going to
stand there and watch them for 50 minutes while they I didn't say 15. I said 50 minutes while they try to
figure it out.
I
think that's where you carry your hand sanitizer. You wear your mask.
I agree.
You
or
tell the
pair
person.
Of gloves.
And you can do the gloves,
gloves
and then throw away the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the gloves, though, you have to throw away the gloves. That's why I'm like sanitize before and after. That's
right.
Yeah, the gloves. Gloves are not very useful because now you have a pair of soiled gloves and now you have to do something with
them.
You
turn them inside out and stuff them in your back pocket and bring them home and throw them out.
I would rather sanitize.
Okay. So dial back the intensity. Here's a big one. This is a big one. And this is something that is going to be extremely hard for certain people to respect. And you know who you are. Dial back the intensity of the ride so that the exertion levels reduce risk of transmission.
So let's talk about this for a second.
Yep.
Drafting is a risky behavior. Why? Because when you're breathing hard, you have a backdraft of about 20 feet. So whatever you're exhaling is going to the person that's behind you. And if they're not 20 feet behind, if they're less than 20 feet behind you, they're breathing what you just exhaled. So if you're drafting, you're going fast. So you got two things going on. You're drafting, number one. And number two, you're working hard. Obviously, you're going to exhale a lot more and a lot harder if you're working very hard. So if you're working hard in a pace line and you're working and you're with people who are not in your quarantine bubble, you're putting yourself at risk.
Exactly. So you really, you know, you need to... You just need to gear it down. You know, be happy that you're able to go out and ride with your friends. I think that would be a good thing. Hey, I get to go out and ride with my friends. I'm not, you know, sitting on their wheel and going, you know, great guns and, you know, trying to keep this is my pet peeve, to increase my average speed because I'm on a group ride. You know what? Your average speed is what it is when you're not on the group ride. Face it. Deal with it. That's all I can say. By the way, I just posted this this clip from USA Cycling, the page that I'm referring to that has the recommendations. So this is, again, USA Cycling Return to Riding and Racing Events Toolkit. And I have just posted that on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, so you can check that out and see what you think. There's just a lot of good things that are on this that I think we need to be taking advantage of and paying attention to. We're running out of time. I had more to talk about, but I will, I'm gonna go for a little bit more of a wrap up here, because I'd like to talk about a couple of other little things just to kind of wrap up what we've talked about here. Events so far as we know at this time, the Thread City Cycle, we'll find out more tonight. We'll know a lot more tonight about the 9th annual Thread City Cycler Century Ride, which is supposed to be on July 26, 2020. Come and explore the roads that Pedal and Ron and Fran ride on. We'll know more tonight. The Steeplechase Bike Tour. This was on 23 hours ago on the Facebook page. It is posted that the three nonprofits that benefit from the Steeplechase Bike Ride Walk need your support more than ever in 2020. The economic effect of COVID-19 has made it harder to fundraise and has deepened the needs of people each organization serves. Help us to raise our last year, I think we raised $120,000 to fight homelessness, substance abuse, mental illness, and poverty. Pick your route, reach out to your friends who to sponsor you, register online or to ride or walk, and then come join us on August 15th. So we'll have more information on that. I will probably be able to get Dan or Victoria on the show with me, and we can talk about that a little bit more. But anyway, we will talk about that soon. Steeplechase is still on, as is the tour to Mansfield. John Jackman tour to Mansfield is also on. You can check with the Mansfield Community Center or the Stores Downtown Partnership for more information.
But the John Jackman tour to Mansfield,
but it is virtual.
Yes.
It is virtual. So, again, it's a good fundraiser, local community event, that sort of thing. Finishing points. I got some finishing thoughts here. Are you jonesing for a group ride? A lot of people are. I want you to also, please feel free to comment on the Facebook page on this one. So, jonesing for a group ride. How big of a group is too big? What's your opinion? What do you think? How big of a group have you been out on recently as far as that goes? How comfortable are you today with riding with others? I want to hear what you have to say. Do you need the help and support of others while riding your bike? And are you okay out on your own? You know, I want to know. I mean, if you're one of those people that is, you just don't do it without other people around you, then I get it, but maybe it's time to, you know, step forward, make brave step forward on this. What resources do you need to continue your cycling motivation? And how fit are you this year compared to last? That's a good question. And finally, on another note, let's complete the cross across the USA Trail. This is a comment. There was an article that came out. I will repost this on Facebook also about a 4,000-mile trail that will bring you across the country on a bike path all the way across the country. Now's the time. This is it. We've got a great opportunity sitting in front of us. Everyone's out riding their bikes. Time to take action. Go to the states that need to complete their trails. Let's make this thing happen. There's what a wonderful thing to be able to do something like that. You know, there's complications, but when you get out more into the Midwest, it's less complicated because, you know, there's less congestion. So the East and West Coasts, yeah, they're a little more complicated. But imagine. For the first time in history, a coast-to-coast bike trail that will connect nearly 4,000 miles of country from Washington, D.C. to Washington State. I'll have the more information on that very, very shortly. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Pedlin Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or on podcast, and you'd like to comment, send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, and now on Spotify. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, please email me, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and keep the wind at your back.
get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores.